the first comic book I ever bought was Spider-Man number 13. Mm. And it was a very iconic cover. One of the most famous Spider-Man covers ever was done by Todd McFarlane. And it's Spider-Man kind of like hunched over in a very famous pose that has been redone to death as an homage by a million artists. That was issue number one. On number 13, he did the exact same pose in the Spider-Man symbiote suit. Yeah. And that was the first thing I ever bought. Literally bought it off a spinner rack at the comic book store. So I was a Spider-Man guy growing up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo! Yeah, we are back and in the canoe, ready to learn some new stuff today. Yikes. Joining me in the canoe, we have in the back Cosmo from the Cosmo Network. I'm
doing this.
You're going to be doing so much of that today because, like, our guest today is kind of, like, really into a lot of topics that you're into that I know nothing about. Uh-huh. So I'm going to, like, pass you the oar and the canoe and I'm going to, like, rely on you today. This is going to be so great.
Oh, no.
You think you got it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I go with the boat.
Let's believe in you. Yeah, I believe.
Going with the floating.
But joining us today is one of my good friends, John Carl, who's a writer for WWE.
Was a writer for WWE. God, that was 19 years ago now.
Oh, wow. Like,
that's
okay.
Literal entire lifetime ago.
Ooh.
Yes. That could be its own separate podcast. But that, I have NDAs to worry about with that one.
Oh, no. Are they not expired?
I don't... Every now and then a little notice will show up at my door, so I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No. I was there 2006 until 2009, and that was before I moved out to Los Angeles and got involved with the YouTube world, which is still what, you know, pays my bills to this day, is working with creators and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you go by, like, multiple different names.
Yeah.
So, like, I know you as John Carl.
You know me as John Carl.
Yeah.
My handle on social media is The John Carl, THEJOHNCARLE.
There you go.
Most of the people I grew up with call me John, and then there's a whole group of people who call me JC. And it literally just comes down to how somebody was introduced to me for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you will have people, like, literally have a conversation and not know who they're referring to until somebody clarifies it.
Oh my gosh.
Which literally happened to Cosmo.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, Chrissy.
Yeah.
So she was like telling me about JC. I was like, JC, I'm like, JC the owner, like from Scum and Villainy.
Uh-huh.
She's like, no. I'm like, another JC? I'm like, this is crazy. Because she has a lot of friends with Jessica's and Lauren's and
she really
and
do.
Jess and Jacqueline's.
They so are many very Jacqueline's. Popular.
I was like, wow. I'm like, another JC? That's cool. She's like, yeah, John Carl. I was like, oh, cool. And then bada bing.
Yeah. But you don't, it seems like you don't really have a preference.
I don't.
With whatever.
No. What is funny is I started a new job, this company called Open World. They do creator marketing and stuff like that, particularly with video game companies. And I walk in and on like day one, I find out one of my coworkers, her name is JC, JAYCIE.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm
what?
Like, okay, well, I'm not going by JC. And I have two members of the team. Their legit first names are the letter J.
Oh, wow.
So I can't, I'm like, no, I'm John or John Carl here. There's no other Johns in this company, which in a gaming company filled with guys, you'd be shocked about
right.
that. I'm the only John. So I just, I own that path there.
Interesting. No. Yeah. I've never had that problem because my name is so like unique, I guess.
Same here.
I've never thought about that. That like when you work at a different place, you have to pick a different, like what everyone's going to know you as. And then when you invite them to like big party celebrations, you're like, all right, everybody's going to be talking about me, but they have no idea they're talking about me.
Exactly.
But speaking of like miscommunications, here on this podcast, we like to talk about things that make us a little Delulu, things that kind of like run rent free in our brain. And I am dying to know, like, what makes you Delulu?
So the thing that makes me Delulu is the X-Men.
Ooh.
Just as a whole, I go crazy for the X-Men. And I grew up reading comic books. I was a Spider-Man guy.
Yeah, same here.
That was what I started on. You know, I literally remember the first comic book I ever bought was Spider-Man number 13. Mm. And it was a very iconic cover. One of the most famous Spider-Man covers ever was done by Todd McFarlane, and it's Spider-Man kind of like hunched over in a very famous pose that has been redone to death as an homage by a million artists. That was issue number one. On number 13, he did the exact same pose in the Spider-Man symbiote suit. Yeah. And that was the first thing I ever bought. Literally bought it off a spinner rack at the comic book store. So I was a Spider-Man guy growing up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then I kind of fell out of comics when I got into high school and things like that. You know, especially when I was in high school, it was that era of like, oh, comic books are too nerdy. Can't get into them. Finish up college, randomly walk into a comic book store, and I buy Ultimate Spider-Man, The Trade, which had just come out, and then The House of M, which is this massive like thing that will probably become a part of the Marvel movies in the next 10 years, I would say.
Probably, yeah.
And it was all about the mutants and the stories of all these characters who have been in the X-Men, enemies of the X-Men. And I really fell in love with the characters more at that point because I also started to mature and understand a lot of what those characters were meant to be versus when you're 8 years old, you don't really get subtext.
Yeah. Up and over.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. So now, did you introduce yourself to comic books or did you have somebody in your family that was a big reader and like pass it on to you?
It was actually just I had gotten picked up from grammar school and my grandfather, we stopped at a corner store that was by the school for some reason. And they had that classic spinner rack. And he saw me looking at one of the books and he's like, oh, do you want that? And the only experience I had with anything comic book related before that were the Marvel trading cards.
Oh.
And I was just collecting cards because my mom was huge into baseball cards.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I don't really care about baseball, football, or literally any sport.
Same.
So I collected the cards. And then it was finally like, oh, well, you know, it seems like a big length of time, but it was probably like 6 months when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Right, that difference. Right.
But yeah, that was like what urged me to jump from the card to grabbing a comic book itself.
Oh, wow. Yep. So thank you, Grandpa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. And then so you started off as Spider-Man and then you fell into X-Men and it just, did it grow from comic books? Like, did you start cosplaying? Did you start collecting the cards as well with them or?
So at the time, started falling in love with the X-Men characters, but then also simultaneously Hawkeye.
Oh, okay.
I'm the one Hawkeye fan. Actually, there's like three of us in LA who are the only ones who cosplay as Hawkeye,
yes!
basically.
Represent.
So I was following down this pathway with Hawkeye, and I was still buying X-Men comics like every week. Like I was like reading them religiously.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple years ago, they announced that X-Men 97 was coming back, which was the continuation of the classic X-Men animated series from the 90s, which I would put up there is like people can argue between these two and I could see either side to it. The greatest cartoons ever made are X-Men the Animated Series and Batman the Animated Series. And I could be getting the dates wrong, but they came out within 6 months of each other.
6 months of each other on Fox.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Okay.
So like, a definitive show for me was getting its continuation. And that was where I just dove deeper and deeper into the X-Men world.
Yeah.
My friend Rod Kim and I, we'd known each other for, you know, almost a decade. And he's this incredibly talented musician. He's recently popped off on TikTok by giving analysis of like pop music from the 90s and 2000s. We'd never figured out a thing to work on together. And randomly I was just like, should we do an X-Men podcast because X-Men 97 is coming out? And we decided on doing the week-by-week rewatch of that original series, which was 75 episodes.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. How many episodes deep are you now?
So we have completed the entire run of X-Men the Animated Series. We've completed the entire run of X-Men Evolution, the first season of X-Men 97, and currently we are six episodes into Wolverine and the X-Men, which was the third animated series for the X-Men.
Wow, so you've been doing some work.
Yeah.
you've been busy.
For 2.5 years, we were weekly, and then this year, just because season two of X-Men 97 is going to come out in 2026. And we needed to space out content because there's only so many episodes of animated X-Men for us to watch.
Yeah.
We decided we had to go bi-weekly. Otherwise, we were going to have like a long period of time, which might not have episodes, which, as you know, is death for a podcast.
Yeah. It totally is. You are not wrong on that. So I, in this room... Kaz was already losing it.
Yeah, he is.
I, in this room, know nothing about X-Men. I think I literally know Rogue is involved, but is she part of... I won't even ask. You'll tell me the lore. I don't even know if she's even, like, part of the group or if she's, like, a side. I also know of... what's her name? It's not Jessica Frost, but it's something Frost.
Emma,
thank you. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Emma Frost.
Yep.
Oh, thank you for saving me, Cosmo. So that's literally... And I know Gambit.
Okay, that was intentional. Just making sure.
It was intentional. But it's stuck in my brain as Gambit now, so sometimes it'll come out as that. But, like, that's all the knowledge I have. So since it's your Delulu, and I'm kind of, like, the odd one out in the canoe here, I'm wondering, because I don't know if my audience is big on X-Men or, like, they might have as much knowledge as me. How would you describe X-Men to, like, an alien that just got plunked on this planet and was like, what's X-Men?
Okay.
What would you say in a generalized spiel?
Sure. So, in the 60s, every single comic book hero needed a different origin. And some people were given drugs, like Captain America. Some people were bit by spiders, like Spider-Man. Some people were just really close to atomic bombs, like the Hulk. Stan Lee, who is the creator, decided we need something that is a little bit easier as the origin. And it was, you're born this way. And they don't really start to see signs of it until they hit puberty. And that's when people develop these powers where their body is changing in a very dramatic fashion at also the time where hormones are going crazy within their body.
Okay, I love it. Yep. I love that.
Yep.
It was the next stage of human evolution.
Oh. Yeah. Yep. Ooh, okay.
So there's this one guy, Professor X, Charles Xavier, because names were not the strongest suit from the 60s, who decides to create a school for what he calls gifted youngsters. And it is the first group of mutants ever put together as a team, and that is the original five X-Men.
Okay. So I had no idea that there was like a school lore with it. So they start off as like you, like in the animated television show, do you see them as like teens or are they primarily adults?
So when X-Men, we'll call it 92 is the one from the 90s, 97 is its continuation.
Okay.
In 92, almost everybody is an adult at that point, but they introduced the character Jubilee, who had been around in the comics for a little bit of time, but was not all the way back to the 60s, as the eyes of the viewer. And Jubilee is the only one who's actually a teenager. So she's the only one going to this institute where it's all these other people who've grown up, learned to control their powers. And she can't because she's emotional and she can't handle everything that's going on. And these giant robots are trying to kill her and things like that.
Also, she's a child from the 90s. So she's she's a mall rat, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
One of her, the favorite quotes from her is something to the extent of, does a mall baby love chili fries?
Does a mall baby love chili fries?
Okay, I love that. Wow.
I can recite that whole damn show from like top to bottom.
I know, you're like a super fan of it.
You both are. But just like JC, like I was just, Spider-Man was my first love.
Really? You were exactly the same.
You didn't fall in love with Hawkeye though. That's where we diverted.
Yeah.
I never loved the Avengers.
Fair.
Oh, okay.
I saw the Avengers like a cheap version of DC in the Justice League. So there's like there's this Boy Scout, there's a broody one, there's a millionaire one, and there's like a god, and it's just the same thing. Wonder Woman for Thor, Batman for friggin' Iron Man, Captain America for Superman.
I mean, literally, it was a two billionaires scenario. Yeah.
Spider-Man, because I lost my grandmother, she was close to me, and I heard the story about Uncle Ben. And I'm like, oh my god, with these great powers, responsibilities, he's in school, he was awkward, all this stuff like that. He was a nerd. And I was a closet nerd because, like, you know, my friends back then in the 90s, like, they wouldn't understand the toys, the action figures, and the comic books that I would have.
Yeah.
And that was great until, like, in middle school, And then high school, like I graduated in 99. So it was like around that time, X-Men was already popular. It was like X-Men Gold, Uncanny X-Men, and the X-Men Gold Team, Blue Team. Mm-hmm. And this was like about mutants being different, mm-hmm. like the diversity, being outcasts. And that's already happened through the world with like being gay, being black, mm-hmm. being different, being like, you know, all that segregation.
Being a minority.
Being a minority, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, like, I related a lot of those characters, and one of the characters I fell in love with was Gambit, because I have family from New Orleans, and, like, I knew people like him, mm-hmm. you know, and just, like, the accent. And then a Southern Belle was Rogue. Mm-hmm. I didn't care much for Cyclops until a couple issues. What are you laughing?
Well, I have to laugh because the name of our podcast is Cyclops is Waiting for Me.
Yeah.
Which is a quote from the show.
Okay.
And I'll, the part that I know Cosmo appreciates, it's a joke about Cyclops. It's not a Cyclops, we're his biggest fan.
Yeah.
So the most memed moment of that series is the sad Wolverine holding the photo.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So
you've
seen
that, right?
Yes.
Right after that, because Wolverine is pining over Jean Grey. That is like the woman he loves who is with Cyclops. Like they are a thing. They are like on the way to get married type thing. Everything like that.
There's tea.
She goes to check on Wolverine who's recovering from an injury. And they have like this awkward like hand touch moment. And she's like, oh, I should go. Cyclops is waiting for me. And then Logan goes, so am I. And it's the most pathetic thing ever.
So am I, Jean.
It's
so
fantastic.
In the comic books, yeah. Scott was part of three love triangles. Emma Frost and Psylocke.
Whoa.
Psylocke was trying to get into that. And then you had Jean Grey in that. So it was like, it was crazy.
Don't forget, at one time, he was with Jean Grey's clone.
Yes. Too. Yes.
Wow. Yep.
Had and a like, baby with the clone.
Baby.
Oh my
they
gosh.
They have a total of three kids, right? Or four?
Currently, there's only...
There's Rachel...
From an alternate reality.
Alternate reality, yes. Oh, Rachel.
Oh. Nathan, who is Cable.
Nathan, Cable. And then was Nathan...
Nate? But Nate's also another reality.
Yes, because it was X-Men.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
That's Nate.
That's
yep.
Nate, okay.
Yep, so that's from the Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse.
See,
that's
this is
stopped.
Where him and I can go for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we have a timer for how long we're recording, so him and I don't do that.
We're at 16 minutes yep. right now. So yep.
DeLulu Canoe derails right. and becomes an X-Men podcast.
It's fine. But so, like, we talked about the original five.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The original five were not a successful comic book. The comic itself was always, like, at the, like, close to being canceled tier of Marvel.
Yeah. Aww.
And then they reinvented it with this issue called Giant Size X-Men, where they got rid of most of the original team. Cyclops was one of the only ones. Mm. And you introduced a literal multinational group of people. You had Wolverine, who was from Canada. You had Nightcrawler, who was from Germany. Colossus, who was Russian. Storm from Africa. Oh. Banshee, who was from Scotland.
Scotland,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And because you said you have never read an X-Men comic.
Uh-oh, what do we got? Cosmo got a treat earlier.
Because I did
milestone edition.
I didn't want to get you X-Men number one because it was really hard to read in the modern era.
Oh, really?
But that is the book that literally saved the X-Men.
Oh, wow!
No, that's awesome.
Have you opened this already?
I mean, that's a reprint. It's not the original.
Oh, okay.
So.
Thank
it's
God.
It's totally
I was like,
okay.
I don't know if you should be handing this to me.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Wait, do I get to borrow it and read it?
No, that's yours.
I get to keep
that's
it.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh! I don't get to be a fake fan anymore. Nope. It's official. I'm an official fan. As soon as you said there were love triangles, I was in.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good drama and some good tea. Thank you so much.
So
I can't wait.
Part of the reason why I love this is this is where they start expanding the size of the team.
Ooh.
So you start seeing all these characters get added. And then the X-Men just have an ongoing group of people who are sometimes at the core, but mm-hmm. there's always new mutants developing in the world and being added to it. So
cool.
Gambit, Rogue, all those people over time are doing it. They end up having a secondary group within the school who get referred to as the New Mutants. It's like, ooh, as these characters have like become adults, mm-hmm, who's the next generation of them? Yeah. And there was that god-awful movie called New Mutants, which...
Uh-oh.
It was the second movie that came out during lockdown, right?
Yeah.
It's a first or second, but it literally got released into theaters to die on the vine because that movie was...
Yeah.
It was not good, but it had... It had the girl from Game of Thrones, Maisie, right?
Yeah, the younger
the cool Stark. Badass Stark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
Arya Stark.
Arya Stark.
Yes. Yes.
And then Anya Taylor-Joy is Magic, who is Colossus's sister.
But this film was bad. Those are two really big, talented actresses.
They were really. I mean,
it also had like four rounds of reshoots. Yeah. It did not know what it wanted to be as a story.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, so they just had a bad writer, right? Is that kind of what you're...
I don't think it was necessarily a bad writer. I think it was literally the studio just got too involved and redid the movie three times. Like, if you watch it, it literally feels like each act is a separate movie that very loosely connect with each other. Like, at one point, it wants to be a superhero movie. And then it's like, no, but we kind of want to be a horror movie.
Horror movie.
But it's not good horror or good superhero when it happens.
No.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
The TV show. Remember that TV show that came out with Paul Riss and it was pretty good. It was one season.
Gifted.
Yes. That was good. Yep. That was actually good.
So I have not watched Gifted yet. And I've now, because of doing the podcast, if there's any X-Men media that I have not seen, mm-hmm, I now wait until I could watch it on the podcast for the first time.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
The original cartoon that we all know and love from the 90s was actually the second thing they ever did for X-Men animation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first was a pilot called Pride of the X-Men.
Pride of the
X-Men. And it's called Pride because one of the characters, her name is Kitty Pride. So it's spelled with a Y.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Saucy. And did you ever see in arcades the X-Men arcade cabinet that had six controllers across all of it?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, we'll show it to you in the future. It's one of the best, like, beat-em-up arcade machines ever made.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
It's like the Ninja Turtles style, like, you walk from left to right and you're just kicking butt with your friends kind of scenario.
I love it.
They touched on it on an episode of X-Men 97.
Yeah.
The Jubilee one. That was awesome. When they go into a video game that's like the original old school cabinet.
Oh, wow.
Really cool. Really good animation. Oh.
But that came out in 1989. It had its pilot. It didn't take off. Mm-hmm. It's great from a nostalgia perspective, but they also made Wolverine Australian.
Yeah.
Which was weird for a Canadian character to have an Australian accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And it literally was because some studio executive was like, oh, what's his face? Crocodile Dundee is popular right now.
Yeah.
That was the legit accurate reason why he was Australian.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember that cartoon. That animation is so strong that there's a line that I still remember from this day, and I just love it. It's the Blob versus... It's like towards the end.
Yep.
It's Blob and Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. And Blob's like this huge character, right? He's like, this is where you'll stop. Nothing moves the Blob. And then Nightcrawler goes, I wouldn't dream of trying. Avita Zane, and poof, disappears. It was just so clever.
Oh.
It just tickled me as a child.
Yeah. Oh, that's one important aspect of the X-Men is all of their powers are incredibly different.
Yeah.
So you have some people who... Like, literally, Cyclops always has to wear these special glasses because if he opens his eyes, laser beams will just shoot out.
Oh!
Actually, I should say, they're called optic blasts. Optic they're not blasts. Actually lasers. I have to maintain my credibility.
It's a force from another dimension, right?
Yes.
Something like that? Yeah.
But if you would have explained it that way to me, I would have not known what you were trying to explain.
But you also got to realize, keep in mind, that not every mutant power, per person that gets a mutant, is a great ability.
Yes, and that's the piece I wanted to touch on with it, is... You have certain people who their mutation is very visibly there, mm-hmm, and they can't hide it. Like Cyclops can just wear his sunglasses and could walk in the modern day and nobody would bat an eye. Mm-hmm. You have people who could be twice their size, have scales, Beast who's well known as like just big and blue and hairy. So they're not like passable in society. Mm-hmm. And when I talked about like being an adult and getting subtext, like, yeah, I didn't realize... It may not have been Stan's original concept with it to be an allegory for oppression of minority groups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But as writers took it over time and developed it further, mm-hmm, you started to realize like, oh, this is just what happens when certain groups are attacking people for being different.
Yep.
And as an adult, like, you know, reading at 18 or actually when I got back in, I was 21. Mm-hmm. Reading at 21, all of a sudden those things all hit instantly.
Yep.
Whereas when I was 8 or 9, I had no idea.
Yeah. That makes sense, though. As like a kid, you wouldn't really understand that. I think a lot of children possibly seeing it would just be like, cool, superpowers. I want superpowers, which is normal because it's something that we don't have. But that's really awesome that it's based on that premise. Like, I had no idea that they were seen as mutants, which if you think about it, mutant isn't exactly like a positive word.
No. Right. And within their world, there are the people who will say mutant. Mm-hmm. There are the people who will say mutie, which is effectively a slur.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you have the mutants who are owning it. And mm-hmm. you know how, like, we are technically Homo sapien. The scientific term is Homo superior.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's literally like, this is a power move when I'm calling myself Homo superior as a mutant, where you're giving me, you know, the slur version as you're like, they have people protesting against them. And they're called the Friends of Humanity, who are the people that are like, we have to keep the gene pool pure. And then like even extremist religious groups, there is a group that is literally called the Purifiers. And, you know, they think they are on a mission to do this. And, you know, the X-Men have to be better than them. Like, obviously, they're going to fight if there's a scenario. Mm-hmm. But you have the mutants who will take a high ground. And then you will have people who move as far as being terrorists with how they're responding to it. So it's not, if you're a mutant, you're not inherently good. It's it's like humanity. Yeah. It's how you react to it and how you fight the good fight kind of scenario.
Yeah.
So is there some sort of, I mean, I guess you kind of established that there's a hierarchy in that way, but is there like good mutants versus bad? Is that kind of like most of the premise, or is it like a lot of like the mutants fighting, like you said, being suppressed essentially by humanity?
It evolves around a friendship between Charles and Eric.
Yep.
Oh.
So when the first issue ever came out, there was the X-Men. And then the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which not the greatest way to brand yourself.
That's an interesting title.
Yeah. Right? Well, that was very much the way of the 60s, right?
Yeah,
of course.
On the nose.
So there were the mutants who are like, well, we are superior because we got these powers from our genetics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take power.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, that was the Magneto. Eric, as Cosmo said, that was his premise. Whereas Xavier was, no, we should learn to live alongside these people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The people very much fall into shades of gray as the story develops. So you do have some mutants who they're not bad because they're a mutant. They're bad because they just chose to become a criminal.
Right.
Like if you have superpowers, it's the same thing with regular people. Would you use it for good? Would you use it for bad? Or are you the guy who just wants to work at the coffee shop and not deal with either side of this?
Yeah.
No.
But there's a reason behind Magneto's actions, which is his upbringing.
Mm.
Yep.
Like during World War II and the Nazi movements and whatnot. So he's been in those concentration camps. You see his people being run over. So he says that's going to happen again in history.
Okay.
So, like, they're going to come over, they're going to take your children, they're going to, like, put us in concentration camps, they're going to do all these weird things because we're mutants and we're different. Just like the whole World War II kind of situation.
I see. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So, I think, like, my biggest question, aside from, like, storylining and plot, is, like, why do you feel like it's not as popular as, like, Avengers? Or is that like a not true statement? Because you said it was on the edge of, like, not even really going forward.
Well, there was the original story just kind of got flat. They were basically doing like villain of the week month stories in the comics at the time.
Okay.
And you had bigger books like Spider-Man to this day is Marvel's number one mover of comics. They've gone up and down, but the Fantastic Four, especially in the 60s, where it was like, this is Marvel's family. Mm-hmm. They were also super popular. So the X-Men didn't really hit until Giant Size X-Men happened.
Yeah.
And then they were the, I'm just going to mess up the timeline, Cosmo. No, I know no matter what I say, I'm going to get the wrong one.
Uh-oh.
So the first Marvel movie that hit big was Blade. And then it was X-Men and then Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
In 2000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been like there. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're not like in the MCU officially yet mm-hmm. is because of a rights issue when Marvel was going bankrupt in the 90s and they sold all the movie rights for like a dime, basically.
Characters.
Yeah.
And like Fox owned the rights to mutants.
Right.
They owned the word mutant.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Disney couldn't even touch that until
the acquisition of Fox Studios. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So they sold off a bunch of their characters in order to
not go bankrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's why you feel like the storylines and the characters just haven't really had their proper time in the sun, so to speak.
Well, the original three X-Men movies that came out, first one is fantastic, mm-hmm. second one fantastic, third one is probably one of the bottom tier of the X-Men franchise.
Which is the one with Jennifer Lawrence.
So that was when they did a reboot.
Okay, so I've seen that one.
To the timeline, yep. Yeah.
What's her? Mystique?
Mystique.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Thank God. Okay, I know three.
Yep. And I think a part of it is just the Fox movies as a quality spectrum
uh-huh.
aren't seen as the same level of quality as the Disney-backed MCU.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, but some of the stories in those were fantastic. Like the stuff that Jennifer Lawrence was in, except for the movie where her character gets offed is one of the worst ones they've ever done.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that one.
That would be Dark Phoenix.
I don't think I saw.
Which was the second time in live action they messed up that story.
Oh no, really? Yes.
So
almost got the costumes right.
Yeah. That was the best thing they did from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Which kills us as X-Men fans because the cartoon in that would have been 94 when that episode came out did a 4-part crossover for the Phoenix Saga, and then a 5-part Dark Phoenix Saga. They did a better job in those animated minutes than anything live action ever did with that particular story.
Yep.
And it is the definitive story for an X-Men fan.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the via the fans' input,
It's
already done correctly somewhere.
Yes.
But Hollywood or Fox or whoever is making the movies just isn't quite hitting the same marks. Is that kind of what you're saying?
What I'm seeing, what I'm starting to notice in the Marvel, Disney Marvel right now, mm-hmm. is right now they're focused on vigilantes.
Like right.
Civil War was about superheroes doing this, whatnot. And there's only a few of them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Avengers. But now with the show Daredevil, they're attacking vigilantes on the street superheroes, not mm-hmm. like the Avengers, but in like Ms. Marvel, they already touched on the mutation.
Okay,
that she's a mutant. So they're touching on that, but it's nothing big yet. It's not in the news and public. I think once they get to this point where they settle down with like the vigilante situation with the low street levels like Spider-Man, Daredevil, Punisher, and then whatever they're going to do with the new Avengers, with the new Captain America, they're going to introduce this new mutation. Yeah. And they're probably going to blame it on the snap, some cosmic stuff that happened with Thanos.
Right, right.
You know,
okay.
Instead of being like, it's evolving, you know, like mm-hmm. the evolution of mm-hmm. man and whatnot.
And then especially Deadpool happening.
Yeah.
Like now, Deadpool's in the main timeline now, so mm-hmm. everything is on the table.
Yeah. Which is a good move for Marvel Disney, because they're like...
Because it did good.
It did amazing.
But it leaves your door, and it also gives you a clean slate
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
to start over again and like doing this Fantastic Four one, which is supposedly it's going to be really badass. And there's been some horrible versions of Fantastic Four. The first one was great with Jessica Alba. Second one was like too much.
I would say great, but it was okay.
Michael
Chiklis is an amazing thing.
He is, and that suit was awesome because it was practical.
Yep.
It was a practical suit, and then they tried it again with Michael B. Jordan, and they CG'd the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it looked really bad. The whole thing looked bad.
I feel
the
like
actors
every were, Fantastic Four movie I've seen is just not great.
Yeah.
But, like, I was a kid, so how did I clock that as a child? I will never know.
You had
but
taste. That's
you
all.
Had
I guess.
Taste.
I really
taste.
Must have had some taste back then. So I guess my next question for you is, like, which character in that universe do you relate the most to, and did it help you like fall in love with the franchise more, or do you feel like you just identify with all of them in different facets of your life?
In like the cartoon, the comic, or just any of it?
I would say any of it. Like there's mm-hmm. got to be one above them all that you're like, I'm like that.
Mm. I think they're like, and I use the Hawkeye example because from an Avengers standpoint, I just absolutely always identified the most with Hawkeye as a character. In every version of that team, I just connect with him. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I have a little bit of imposter syndrome, like just as a person, because he is the guy who is literally just good at shooting arrows in a world where he's literally on the team next to a god and a super soldier.
Oh my gosh.
With the X-Men, I feel connections to different members of the team for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something about Cyclops where he's kind of the Boy Scout, but he also, like, is doing everything with best intentions. And when stuff is really, really going wrong, he's the guy who has to pull people together and push through. And I love that. And then there's something like Wolverine, who's the extreme side of stuff where, oh, I sometimes have to be the bad guy. And it's not because he's being a villain, but he's like, something bad is happening and I need to go in there and fix it. And I don't care if there's tears and stuff like that from it. It's going to be bad for people. Mm. And then there's just kind of like, you know, you love a character like Jubilee, who I mentioned earlier, who is giving an innocent perspective on the world when there are literally giant robots going down the street trying to like capture her and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then like even a character like Iceman, like he's also surprisingly like one of the 12 most powerful mutants on the planet, and people wouldn't think that because he was always just a goof and it was him not living up to potential. But the character about 8 years ago now, I could be wrong on the dates, came out. And it was crazy to watch because the reaction to it is what I've seen with a lot of people, myself included. Like when they came out, people are like, oh, well, Bobby can't be gay. Bobby's always dated women. I'm like, have you ever met a gay person who's come out?
Because
the same thing gets said about anybody who was not, quote unquote, like, obviously gay.
Right. And, like, I feel like that's such an ignorant thing to say because, obviously, like, you have to start somewhere, you know, and that's the only way to figure out who you are is that you try different things in life and figure out that like, oh, I didn't really like that experience or, oh, I don't really feel like I meshed with this person. So, of course, you're probably going to date somebody that you wouldn't end up with, whether it's their gender or whatever the case is. So that's, I don't know, that's ignorant speaking when people say comments like that, in my opinion. But
it was also the experience of seeing it with a character that I thought was fantastic, because like that's a whole conversation that some people just don't end up having, because when you come out, there are the people who will just disappear from your life and you never have that conversation with them. But seeing how people were reacting to a fictional character that they always read as straight, then coming out, it was like, oh, there's lots to like learn about the experience for it.
Definitely. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love the layers of this too. Like I literally, like I said, knew nothing about X-Men at all. So it's fascinating to hear that there's so many layers to it. And it's also kind of sad that it hasn't really had its moment quite yet, but it sounds like it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. So, and that's the good news out of all of it is that like, unfortunately, sometimes they have to make a bunch of bad movies before it gets to like the real good.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Like, look at Michael Bay in Transformers. He messed up the whole storyline.
You got Bumblebee eventually.
But like, he made it look, he's like, he showed people, this is what it could look like.
Yep.
Right.
And then somebody like, pull back the camera. And like, let's give it a story. And boom, Bumblebee and the Rise of the Beast thing. And I was like,
beautiful. That's a good example. Because I remember seeing the first Transformers, and being a young girl, it was not exactly my cup of tea of a movie. Yeah. But you're not wrong, because Bumblebee was great.
Yeah.
So
there is one other character I have to shout out.
So
if you go back on my Instagram, there is a picture of me in a white dress with hearts on it and a blonde wig with pigtails, alongside Chrissy and our friend Michelle. There was a comic that came out a couple years ago called X Terminators. The entire premise of this book is the character Dazzler, who is a former disco queen, gets broken up with her boyfriend at a bar in West Hollywood. And she's like, I need to get drunk.
Yes.
Calls Jubilee. Jubilee does not want to deal with drunk Dazzler by herself, and calls Boom Boom, who is one of the character that I was, who is just a mess in a fun way.
Oh my God.
Like, she is the, like, have fun, be a party girl vibe. And Boom Boom's vibe is everything. And she shows up and just like they're already drinking at the bar, but they're like down and quiet. And she's like, you told me you wanted to come out and drink, not just like be sad and depressed bitches.
Oh, no.
So
that's great. Love
everything about Boom Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I've definitely heard Dazzler before, but I don't know if I've known someone who's cosplayed as Dazzler. Have you?
I've only done Boom Boom.
Somebody has mentioned Dazzler to me.
I've seen Dazzler once at a con, and it wasn't even in California.
So oh, okay.
I'm like, that was badass.
Yeah.
They had like the old 60s look. Yeah. Headband, little like brown leather jacket. And
oh, that was 80s look.
80s look, okay.
Original 70s look is literally like a bejeweled, like disco skater look kind of.
Ooh.
Like she literally would skate around.
Like Taylor Swift.
I'm in. That's who it is. Taylor I've seen Swift artwork would be, of yes,
yeah, great. Yeah, the fan casting. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Taylor I've seen Swift, that.
And then what's her name? The new girl too.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes, she would make a good Dazzler.
I love Sabrina. I don't think she would make a good Dazzler.
She'd make a good Gwen.
She'd make Spider a great Gwen, Gwen but Spider then Gwen? She has to die.
Oh
no, Spider Gwen.
Oh, Spider Gwen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Alternate universe. Give us Miles Morales and Spider Gwen. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, love that. So do you have any cosplays coming up that you're gonna be doing more X-Men?
We need to start figuring out San Diego. I'm not gonna have time to get something done for WonderCon, but I have to figure out San Diego this year. So
bummed. One of my big WonderCon builds I just found out won't make it.
No.
Time. Yeah. I'm having that sort of like sad moment of like, I guess my dreams won't come true, but it's okay. There's been a lot of life happening. So
WonderCon is for me though, is going to be very focused on crossing paths with a bunch of the cast. So I have like my like prized X-Men possession because I love the comics and everything like that, but the show is always what has captured me the most. Hellfire Gala issue that came out in 2023. They did an alternate cover, which was the first comic book cover that had the X-Men 97 art style on it, and it has almost every member of the team on it. I have gotten over 20 autographs from the various voice actors and creators of the show.
Whoa.
So Lenore Zann, who is the voice actress for Rogue in both 92 and 97.
Yeah.
AJ LoCascio, who's the voice of Gambit. The original Jean Grey from 92, Catherine Disher, who is Val Cooper in the new one. The original Nightcrawler, who's come back to the show.
Oh, wow.
Our mutual friend Isaac, who is the voice of Bishop. So we've gotten all these, and I'm thrilled because one of the only people I haven't been able to cross paths with is Ross Marquand, who is the voice of Professor X. Most people know him because he was in The Walking Dead as the character Aaron. In the year I've been getting this comic signed, sadly, I've just not been able to cross paths with him. So I get to check him off the list at WonderCon.
Ooh, oh, that's so exciting. Nice. So wait, did you buy like the meet and greet with him? Is that how you end up getting autographs? Or just because you know people, you're like, hey.
So there is a company called Unknown Comics who they have like made it their thing at a bunch of the big shows that they do a big all day signing with all the X-Men people.
Oh,
that's awesome.
The moments are fantastic because I walked up to Catherine, who is the voice of Jean, who said the line that's the namesake of our show.
Yeah.
And I was like, before I have you sign an autograph, I'd like to give this to you. And I have little enamel pins that have the name of our show on it.
Aww.
And she literally like looked at it and she like paused for a second and she goes, I said that. And it was like the coolest feeling.
You're like, yes, you did.
So she was fantastic. And then who she shared the scene with is Cal Dodd, who's the voice of Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And at San Diego, there was a line for everybody. Every, like, their voice of Storm, Modern Jubilee, Original Jubilee, Sunspot. Everybody had a line.
Uh-huh.
Cal Dodd, who's Wolverine, had the longest line. And I was like, no disrespect to him, but, like, his is so much longer than everybody else's. And it's because he literally spends like 5 minutes with every single person to give like a moment with people.
When they do that, I just like, yes.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm holding up the line. Like Jason David Frank used to do that. You know? He's like, oh, I'll take a minute. Let's do a picture. I'll sign this. Let's talk about it. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he'll stay at the end of the con. And when the con kicks him out, he'll go outside and do the rest of it.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, that's
so nice.
So like when I handed it to Cal's reaction, he does this more flawlessly than almost any other voice actor I've met, where he drops in and out of the voice like perfectly.
Wow.
And Wolverine is this like rough, gravelly voice that I'm butchering right there.
He's really rough.
Yeah. Like that. But he was literally like replaying the scene in the character. And I'm just like, this is the coolest moment.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Oh, that is so fun. Yeah.
The only other person who is not even a major character on the show who did this, David Arrigo Jr., who is one of the voices of Phineas and Ferb, and he's going to kill me because I don't remember which one he is in the modern Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I've seen. I'm a big fan of Phineas and Ferb.
Okay,
so
one of the two of them.
One of the kids?
Yes, is four different characters on the X-Men show.
Interesting.
And when we had him on our podcast, we have a software to help us do our edit that will identify how many people are talking. He hit our maximum limit because he went over the number for our paid version of the software. Because they're like, you have 14 guests on the podcast. And it was three of us.
We're like, no.
Yes.
Wow, he was on your show? That's so cool.
We've been very fortunate that we've had a number of the voice actors on our show. Yeah.
Oh my, well, plug your show. Yep. Yeah.
So again, Cyclops is waiting for me. And you can find us on literally every podcast platform. We went into some of even the random ones. Like we get listeners every month off a platform called Castbox, and most people don't know what that is, but we get downloads there. So we'll keep sharing everywhere on that one.
Wow.
So,
yeah. I've never heard of that one before.
It's been around for like years or something like that. And we had a joke on our sign off for like most of Evolution. We're like, and one day we're going to be like number one on Castbox because there's not that many people on it. So it can't be that hard.
Do you use, what's it called? It's not repurpose, but there's a
Restream.
Maybe. Is that what you use to like put your episodes out to everywhere? Like
we use Spotify. So with our Spotify thing, it goes to all the major podcast servers for us.
Oh, interesting.
And then I have to manually upload the video version to YouTube because we're...
Yeah, I have to do that too. Yep. But I think I use... Oh, what is it called? It starts with a C. I'll send it to you. Yes. I'll look for it. Captivate. That's what it is.
That is not what we use. I've heard of it, but that's not what we use.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to talk about that. Because like aside from X-Men, you also like help YouTubers.
Yes.
Like you manage them, so to speak.
Well, the current role is more managing brand relationships. Where I'm at Open World, I focus on doing campaigns for gaming companies. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, we have game launches and stuff like that. And I've been focused on that side of the industry for about 5 years now. I've done a lot of work for Ubisoft at previous companies and stuff like that. Assassin's Creed, Valhalla was the biggest one I did. And that also came out at a perfect time because it was lockdown. And I want to say I clocked 200 hours in that game.
Oh my gosh, yes.
When I'm living by myself in lockdown, I had a lot of time to be a Viking. So, yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I play a game called Valheim where it's like you're a Viking. Yeah, yep. I'm obsessed. Yep. Oh, it's so fun. I don't even know why. Like, it's just, I love survival
games.
It
looks really beautiful. Oh. I love watching you play. I'm like, oh my God, I
just
get into this.
Like, could sit there for 8 hours and play that game, but I have to go and have a life, so I can't.
I'm the same way with Fortnite. Thank you, Chompy. Thank you, Chompy. Thank you, Chompy.
I need to join your squad one night when you guys are doing Fortnite, because I have, every single time there is an X-Men skin in Fortnite, I buy it instantly. I've easily spent like $150 on just X-Men skins in
my
Fortnite, let alone all my other skins in that game.
I just started and I went to a squad match and I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. This is random. It picks for you.
Yep.
And I get there and I'm like, we set our markers where we're all gonna meet up. And as soon as I get there, I'm like, Magneto, Gambit, and Rogue.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm on a team with like some of my favorite X-Men. So I'm like, holy crap. Of course they didn't play well, but I end up saving them a lot. But it was really fun. It was really
helping
fun.
Helping me my first time when I play Fortnite.
Oh, my God.
But I guess my last question for you, which I don't know if you'll even have an answer to this, but how does your love for X-Men help you with your day job?
How does my love for X-Men help me with my day job?
Yeah, like what part of that like is in the back of your brain that you're like, well, I'm going to lead with kindness today.
No, I don't lead with kindness. I yell constantly.
What would Wolverine do?
Yeah.
I've gotten fired for stabbing people with knives between my fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I think the thing that ties most to what I do for work is, even though right now I'm on the brand side of conversations, I still have the creator's mindset. And I will always be the person in a conversation that, not that I'm ever saying no to my client, it's always come up with a solution, mm-hmm. but I make sure that the solutions that I'm providing are things that a creator would actually want to do and be excited about. I think one of the biggest challenges in influencer marketing or creator marketing, whatever your preference on calling it is, is when you have people who don't consume the content trying to dictate creative. And sometimes they treat it like a commercial. Mm-hmm. And I say, here's the thing. If you want to do a commercial, we can do a commercial. I will deliver all these assets to you. You're going to get this beautiful thing. But the only way you're going to get views on it is you have to run this as media on Instagram or TikTok, et cetera. That's how you're going to get your views.
Right.
If you want to be able to connect with this person's audience, which is why you're paying what you are paying them, mm-hmm. we need to think of this as what is content that they want to actually watch. And the podcast, and I've done live streaming and stuff like that over the years, like just always having what would an audience want and an audience enjoy, because that's what you as creators especially like to do. You don't want to be forced to read a script unless you're literally acting in a movie or a commercial, right?
Yeah. It's a little different. Yeah.
Right. But if you're making something for the people who have given their you know, their time in, they're investing in you, mm-hmm. you want to give them cool stuff to watch, react to, et cetera.
Right. Cause then the ad or the run will actually perform well and you'll get uh-huh. results, because it's not them being like, oh, darn, are you bored and want to play a video game?
Yep.
Try this game. You know, like it's, yeah, people can tell. The authenticity is so easy to read these days. And I'm sure you know, cause you see it all the time where people are like,
yep. My favorite story was I was repping when I was still on the talent representation side, mm-hmm. this creator who does like visual film effects type stuff. Think very corridor digital style of content. Mm-hmm. It was a one-man studio. At the time, he was living in Russia.
Oh.
And he got his first big check ever because me and one of the sales guys I was working with got him Z Nation, which was a show on Sci-Fi.
I love that show.
Wow.
So he got well known on YouTube for doing things with kittens in his content. And
okay.
The brand was like, we want to tap into this. What is something that you can do that is safe? Obviously, they don't want to put a cat in danger with zombies. Right. And he literally goes, well, what if I did kittens versus zombies? And we're like, that sounds like YouTube crack. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So we're like, cool, give us a like half page treatment. We'll get it approved. And then we go into the scripting process. Brand had the most minor notes possible. Like it was like one or two things that were just like pseudo brand safety ish, but everything else was like, cool. And if that's how a brand is treating it, they're just like, we just have certain lines you can't cross.
For sure.
Okay. Totally get that.
Yeah.
That video I checked in the fall. Has 275 million lifetime views.
Oh my.
And that
gosh.
Was a branded piece of content.
Wow.
Yep.
And that's incredible.
So that the channel Mr. TV Cow, and the video is called Kittens versus Zombies, and I am so happy we got to do that for him, because like it was like he was doing well off of YouTube views, but like this was like enjoy, and like you got to give him that first big moment of cashing in, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. That is such a great story.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. So
I always
inspired.
Say it during job interviews.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. I got this brand almost 300 million lifetime views.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yep.
Well, tell our audience where else they can find you. Mention your podcast again.
Sure. So podcast is the spot I always try to drive people to the most, and mm-hmm. it's Cyclops IWFM Pod, which is Cyclops is Waiting for Me, because we made the mistake of making a name that was too long. But we like our name because it's a joke on Cyclops.
Yeah, totally fun.
But if you just go into any of the podcast apps, just search Cyclops is Waiting for Me. For almost all of them, we're just like the autocomplete for Cyclops, which is pretty cool.
Perfect.
And then you can find me on Instagram and Threads and Blue Sky at The John Carl, THEJOHNCARLE. Because I'm off of the trash fire that is Twitter right now.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Twitter.
Nope.
Well, we're going to actually take this over to Patreon if you're cool to stick around, because some of the patrons have some like really fun questions for you.
Okay.
And I might have accidentally asked you a couple of them just like in our conversation, but like, no worries.
We'll make up other ones. It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't need to know.
So come join us on Patreon. If you don't know, we're monetized now on YouTube, but we barely make like $2 a month off of our views, which is really cool because we have Patreon where there's so many of you that support us there. But if you're considering it, our lowest tier is $5. So that's literally like a coffee at Starbucks. If you could skip that for the day, that'd be great. And come hang, because then you get to see the extended cuts of us interviewing our guests. If you join the $10 tier, you get to ask them questions, and there's no question too spicy, too saucy. We will ask them every question you turn in. Don't worry, none of yours are spicy.
Now I'm disappointed. Unless you want one. Yeah,
well, next time we'll have to have you come on as your drag persona.
Okay.
That'd be really fun.
I'll come on as the Boom Boom cosplay.
Yes! Oh my gosh, I'm dying. Yep. That'd be so much fun. So we're going to take it on over to Patreon. Come join us, and remember everybody to stay DeLulu, because that is the Salulu. And thank you, Cosmo, for producing. Stay DeLulu! Bye! That's my Chewbacca. I have a baby one. Baby Chewbacca.